This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio, and I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. A bill that would loosen restrictions on sales of raw milk in Wisconsin is still pending. The bill passed a state Senate committee in November, but has not advanced past that stage. Supporters of raw milk sales cite what they see as health benefits, while opponents cite data showing health risks from drinking unpasteurized milk. Even without the legislation, it has been a strident debate in a state already associated with dairy products. Advocates have been willing to risk arrest in their efforts to buy or sell raw milk, and they've taken some unusual steps as well. Eric Gunn writes about the debate in the March issue of Milwaukee Magazine. He tells Mitch Tyke why he believes raw milk is such a flashpoint for controversy.
Because whatever side you are on, you're absolutely convinced that you've got the totality of important information about it, I think is the simplest point. And I think that if you're a physician or a member of the dairy industry, you're certainly aware of the potential hazards, and that looms above everything else. If you're one of the people who has had a personal experience that leads you to believe that this is a strongly beneficial product, then you are inclined to be suspicious of anyone who has a somewhat different point of view.
Well, let's start really with a few simple questions. And the basic one is, what are the key reasons that people choose to become raw milk consumers?
The people that I've spoken with usually, I think, encountered, you know, some information elsewhere that made it a more appealing. But secondly, when they consume it themselves, they claim better flavor, positive health impacts.
Specifically, they talk about digestion.
Digestion. The pro-raw milk community tends to advance a theory that what many adults experience is lactose intolerance is really a byproduct of pasteurization rather than milk in general. This theory is not necessarily accepted in mainstream science. I want to be clear about that. But other people who have consumed raw milk and made it part of their diet just attribute all kinds of beneficial health effects to it. The other big thing, and again, mainstream science is very skeptical about this, but is the notion that there are not necessarily pathogenic bacteria, but a greater variety of bacteria in raw milk that people consuming it are then exposed to, that has the effect of bolstering the immune system.
Raw milk cannot legally be sold in Wisconsin, but what is the way around that restriction that advocates and raw milk producers have?
The way around it is one that it's at this point a legal gray area. But let me back up for a second. The law has never said that a farm family consuming the raw milk from their own cattle is doing anything in violation of the law. That is not considered to be in public commerce. So raw milk advocates, where the sale of raw milk is not legal, have in Wisconsin and in other places come up with variations on the following arrangement, which is usually known by shorthand as a herd share or co-op.
It's essentially like a co-op. But people...
And the consumer buys a share of the farm. So now he or she is not supposedly being sold raw milk on the public retail market, which is what's regulated, but rather consuming some of the milk from their own personal herd or their share of their herd. And therefore is, at least in theory, beyond the reach of those regulations. This issue was unofficially tested in last year's trial of Vernon Hershberger.
Right. He is someone who produces raw milk, but he was not tried for selling raw milk.
That is correct. The focus of the official charges against him were all around retailing regulations under the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection and local health authorities. And he maintained that we are not in the public retailing business. this is our private thing, and therefore we are not governed by those regulations. And he succeeded, his lawyer succeeded, in persuading essentially the jury that indeed he had not violated those retailing regulations because of that, which is why he got acquitted of 3 out of the 4 misdemeanor charges that had been leveled against him.
You write that Vernon Hershberger is kind of in the middle of all this, but he doesn't necessarily see himself as an activist, and he doesn't necessarily relish the idea of fighting from a legal standpoint.
That's correct. Mr. Hershberger comes from an Amish background. He and his wife moved out from Ohio, where they grew up, to Wisconsin about 15 years ago, intending to join an Amish community in the area of Sauk County. But ultimately left that community, became estranged from it, and now do belong to another religious organization, church in the area. What both his upbringing, his Amish upbringing, have in common with the church that he belongs to now is a real degree of separation from the secular world in many respects, and very specifically being skeptical of the court system as a way of redressing personal rights.
Well, let's turn to the other side of the equation. There are any number of medical sources that oppose the sale of raw milk. And as you say, much of the dairy industry in this state does as well. What are first the objections of much of the medical community?
The principal objections associated with raw milk consumption has been at various times outbreaks of very severe diseases. When pasteurization was first brought in, a big issue was tuberculosis. But even now, E. coli, Campylobacter, and a whole bunch of other typhus diseases have been associated in some situations with the consumption of raw dairy products, unpasteurized dairy products.
And at the same time, what is the dairy industry's objection? The same thing?
Well, basically, they say, gee, we certainly are aware of this medical information. And I think the sort of the subtext there is we don't want to see anything happen that turns the general consuming public off of dairy across the board.
This is not a
– is their hypothetical, you know, concern about what would happen if, for instance, raw milk were legalized in Wisconsin and then it became more widely consumed and then sooner or later one of these outbreaks occurred on a larger scale, that would torpedo the entire dairy industry is their fear.
They're not worried about an immediate direct economic impact that many people would go and buy raw milk. They're worried about an indirect impact if raw milk were consumed and bad things were to happen and people stopped buying milk altogether.
Well, that's the public statement. Certainly the raw milk advocates believe that that latter suggestion, which is that raw milk would just further take away mainstream dairy product market share, is also part of the motivation. That's the claim on the part of the raw milk advocates. But whether that's really what's going on is open to question.
How much of this is linked to the broader trend of the local foods movement?
Well, and I think this is what has sort of fascinated me. I see the whole interest in raw milk as really just a kind of a logical extension or a further extreme, sort of out on the edge of that broader trend. And certainly the people who are involved deeply in attempts to make it more legal and to distribute it and so on would see themselves in that, as sort of part of that bigger trend. And if you think about it, the whole organic food movement and working with local farmers and things like community-supported agriculture, all that kind of thing, the growth of farmers' markets is a popular source, and the increasing skepticism towards the big ag, big food complex,
food Inc.,
all
if you will,
play into that.
At the same time, sort of one thing to look at local foods is, knowing where your food is grown. I would imagine that opponents of raw milk would point out it's another thing to know whether the milk you're drinking is contaminated by potentially harmful bacteria.
Exactly. I mean, one of the people that I spoke to and include a lot in this story, a pediatrician and infectious disease specialist in Madison, I mean, it was very interesting because we got into this question about, okay, to what extent is this movement sort of part of this bigger one? And he says he understands that point of view. He himself is somebody, you know, they choose to go to a meat supplier that has grass-fed beef and locally raised. He's totally behind that. They like the farmers markets. The difference, he says, you take that meat home, you cook it. That will kill bacteria if there is bacteria of a bad kind on it. You take your lettuce home from the farmer's market. You wash it before you put it on your salad. And you can't do any of those things with raw milk, he says, which is certainly true. And then the question becomes, is the raw milk at that same sort of level of hazard that it would appear to be or not?
I would imagine, though, that advocates of raw milk sales would point out that the government allows the sales of plenty of other products out there whose negative impact are well known.
And that's
like
exactly
– cigarettes. Mean,
and not just that, but there's certainly been occasional outbreaks from things that are sold in the supermarket that turn out to be just as dangerous in those instances when an outbreak occurs, as is attributed to the unpasteurized milk. Part of the argument or sort of part of the narrative that the raw milk advocates are trying to change is the question of, is milk from the cow as categorically subject to contamination as is assumed? And they feel that the focus on raw milk per se is misdirected, and the real focus should be on the conditions in which cows are kept, raised, milked, fed, etc., that would have the biggest impact from their argument on the actual healthfulness, the presence or absence of pathogens in the milk.
This is the point that they would concede that in some ways, there are potential dangers of raw milk, but there are ways to mitigate those dangers and sell raw milk safely.
Correct. And, you know, as one of the people that I talked to said, okay, if you take a factory farm, I'm not getting raw milk. You know, she said, you know, you can't just get it from anybody. You can't get it from a factory farm and expect it to be free of pathogens. But when you know the conditions in which the cows are kept and the milking is done and all that, that's where they say the focus needs to be.
There are 30 states in which raw milk sales are legal. Do you know anything about whether there are inspection processes to ensure the safety of raw milk in those places?
Well, each state is a little bit different in this respect. And in some of the states where it is legal, what in essence they have is a more formal legalized version of this herd share idea. Certainly, there are places where there are some kind of inspection processes, others not. In Europe, there are places where you can actually buy raw milk from vending machines. I don't think this is actually in the story. It was like one of these tidbits that ended up on the cutting room floor when I was writing it. But there's that kind of thing, too. There's certainly all kinds of ways to look at the data on illness. And it has been pointed out by skeptics of raw milk that a number of the big outbreaks that have been reported in recent years were in states that had a more open market for raw milk than others. But again, the details are where people get into disagreements about what the real significance of those kind of data are.
Is there any way to determine how many people are drinking raw milk in Wisconsin or around the country?
You know, we tried to sort of figure out that. There have been some surveys that in fact would suggest that nationally the number is significantly more than has been estimated. But it's especially in Wisconsin where it is a semi-underground phenomenon. I think it would be very hard to come up with numbers. And what we don't have really are numbers about, you know, on sort of the flip side of that, on actual sort of sources and causes of foodborne illness in general on an annual basis. What happens is they collect a lot of data and they do sort of survey methods, but we don't know how many people got sick last year from raw milk, from pasteurized milk, from dirty salad, or any of those things.
We just know that this number of people got sick, but we aren't able to say because of this, then that.
Right. And then what we know is when there's a big outbreak of something associated with it, then attention gets focused on that. But it doesn't really go to the larger question of what is the overall trend that you'd need to begin to definitively understand this.
In short, there's something in the data for both proponents and opponents of raw milk to sink their teeth into.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to be that way for a long time.
Eric Gunn, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Eric Gunn is a contributing editor at Milwaukee Magazine. His article on the debate over raw milk sales in Wisconsin is in the March issue. Migrant farm workers in Wisconsin get the focus in Milwaukee photographer Paul Calhoun's newest exhibition. We'll talk with him about it next on Lake Effect. You're listening to us on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.